The Morning Show. 난 라쿠짜.
Julia Stone, die man vielleicht noch kennen könnte aus dem Duo Angus und Julia Stone, hat jetzt schon zum dritten Mal eine Soloplatte aufgenommen. Seit einigen Jahren war es ruhig geworden um die Künstlerin aus Australien, die sich jetzt aber zurückmeldet mit 60 Summers. Übermorgen, am 30.04. wird das Album endlich erscheinen, über das wir uns sehr freuen und über das wir sprechen können mit der Künstlerin herself. Julia Stone ist uns per Videocall-Software zugeschaltet, sitzt in Melbourne in ihrem Musikzimmerchen. Ich sehe im Hintergrund ein Piano und so, sieht alles ganz gemütlich aus. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über die Platte, die übermorgen nach mehrmaligem Verschieben endlich erscheint. Ich begrüße in der Morning Show am Nachmittag Julia Stone. Welcome. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I mean, under the circumstances, but we're doing okay. Well over here. How are you doing?
Good, good, good to hear that. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, we're going okay down here.
Okay. Down here means you're in Australia right now.
Yes, I'm in Melbourne in Australia, in St. Kilda, a little town by the bay, and, you know, hanging out with my little Aussie cattle dog and having a nice time.
Oh, you have a little Aussie cattle dog. That's sweet. I love those. They're good looking dogs.
Yeah, they're very sweet. They're very good looking.
and I mean, we're in the radio right now, but I have to describe the room that you're sitting in. It looks pretty cozy. There's a piano in the back.
This is my writing room.
Okay.
Yeah, so piano in the back, and then there's some paintings some friends of mine have done. Ukulele. What else have we got in here? A flute, a clarinet, an electric guitar, and then it's a bit of a mess, actually. So, I mean, it is cozy and also messy.
But it's like the way that you describe the room right now is like it kind of matches the sound of the album, because the album is like a very, very versatile beast. There's many genres on there, and you were just like, there's an electric guitar, there's a ukulele, there's a clarinet. And I think it is something that describes your album kind of nicely. 60 Summers is dropping the day after tomorrow, finally. I mean, it's been postponed a few times, so you must be really happy to finally release that beast after all those years. I mean, it's been years, actually, that you've worked on that album, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, I guess the majority of the work was done in 2019 with when Annie Clark came on board to help finish it. But Thomas and I had been writing it since 2015, but that was around the time I was doing a lot of work with my brother. So it wasn't all the time working on this record. It was sort of between tours and here and there writing songs. And then, we really knuckled down to finish it 2019. But you're right. I mean, it is a really versatile record, and every song has its own story and mood. And I guess part of that is because it was written over such a long period of time.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened that way. I don't think it was an idea. It just the way it unfolded.
Yeah, but it makes sense when you describe it like that, because a person is in a different headspace over the course of time, and that's a good reason for the sound sounding so different on that album, because it's like Julia Stone from different phases, kind of like.
Yeah, different stories, different life experiences. And then I guess the sounds of Thomas, Annie, and all the different musicians in 2019 tied it all together, which made it feel connected.
Yeah. That's something that I've read. You've worked with Thomas Bartlett, obviously. He's your longtime collaborator. You've worked with him for years now. And Annie Clark kind of like jumped on the project, jumped on someone else's train in 2019, kind of. I mean, you met her through friends. I don't know the exact story isn't too important, but you've met her. That's the important part. And you were like friends very fast. And then she came in. She came into the recording session, and I was like, yeah, maybe the horns and all that stuff was St. Vincent's or Annie Clark's idea. But then I found out that she was actually stripping down the whole thing. So she was coming in and like, it's too much synthesizers on there. Get rid of them or something like that.
I mean, it was a bit of a mix, you know. On some songs, Annie did a bit of stripping out. And then on other songs like Who and Dance, she completely reworked the production on those songs. So they initially sounded really different. And maybe at some point I'll release the original versions, because they were like different songs. So Yeah, songs like that would start from an idea that Annie would have for a beat or a bass line, and then it would go from there. So it was really dependent on the track. She had a strong feeling about songs that were close to being finished. Break, she felt, was really close, and she added some guitar parts at the back end of that, and so did Bryce. Desna came in and did some guitar, and that finished that track. She also got a drummer in to do some percussion. But yes, other songs, like Dance, she just went, it has to, we have to start again. So
Yeah.
we started from scratch and she built it up. So yeah, it
I
was different.
would really love to hear the original demo version of Dance because you said in an interview that it didn't sound like Serge Gainsbourg at all when it started. And that's one of the surprising moments on that album because it's like contemporary pop music up until that song, I think. You know, there's sounds
Yeah.
that you're used to in 2021. And then all of a sudden,
Yeah.
the short scale bass goes like doom, 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 doom.
Yeah,
It was really surprising to me, really. So
totally.
that came when Annie Clark was like, maybe we should do a Gainsbourg-ish version of this.
Yeah, I think Annie really wanted to hear that song in a different way. It had such a it was definitely much more in the pop world before that transformed. And I think we were Thomas and I never felt very comfortable with where it was, and it was one of our favorite melodies, the "Why don't we dance?" We really loved that, but we didn't feel good about the production, and we battled for so long about that song and whether it could go on the record. And when Annie stripped it back, I think initially the way that we had recorded it was her. She played the drums just on the hi-hat. She's obviously an extremely talented musician, so she played the drums and some other ideas, and we made it really stripped back. And then I rewrote the verses to be that spoken word verse. So the verses also were very different. They had different lyrics. They were sung. It was very synthy and poppy. So
Interesting,
yeah,
though.
that was all Annie.
Cool. And you were kind of like uncomfortable with the way that your voice sounded when you were speaking at the first time, right? Because you're used to listening to yourself singing, but not used to listening to yourself speaking. It's like the
Yeah.
opposite of my position, actually.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever your job is to hear yourself speak, so you might really love how you sound. You sound very beautiful to me. I
Well, thank you.
when I hear myself speak in interviews, I try not to listen back.
Yeah.
Get really shocked. I always think, is that what I sound like? And I think for that reason, I'd avoided for many years ever using spoken word. But I knew that there was something missing for Dance, and I had started to play around with spoken word on the song Break, and I was doing these kind of like, so I left and I started dancing and I did that, and it was a little bit melodic spoken word, and I really liked the sound of how I was singing, speaking that. And then I went, you know what, if I softly speak and dance, maybe it will be okay. And so I got really close to the mic and well, I guess this is our losing hand. And I listened back and I thought, it's okay, I can live with this. And I started to actually really love that feeling of like a musical poetry.
Yeah, I mean, you've worked with Annie Clark, but I just thought of Anne Clark and her music. She was the master of spoken word performances and danceable music. You have to listen to her stuff once again,
I'll
I
say the
think.
name again, I'll write it
It's
down.
Anne Clark, not Annie
Anne
Clark, but Anne
Clark.
Clark. She has
Okay, I will look it up.
her hit is called Sleeper in Metropolis, and she just speaks on
Okay.
that song, and it doesn't even rhyme, but it's like I think it's from the 80s, or yeah, I think it's from the 80s, that song, and it's still one of the best spoken
Okay.
word performances ever, I think.
Well, I think as well, like when I was in New York, Thomas was showing me a lot of live performances from Talking Heads and also
Yeah.
Laurie Anderson. And that sort of stuff as well was in my brain as being
Yeah,
quite
cool.
theatrical. And I think I've got a pretty theatrical side to me, and I really wanted to bring that out as well. So so spoken word has a way of doing that, and certainly those artists were inspiring me at the time.
I mean, Annie Clark is one of the names that we have to drop in this interview. Actually, St. Vincent produced the album with you and your partner in crime, Thomas Bartlett. But there's a whole other family that we have to talk about, and that's the National Family. That doesn't sound right. We're the National Family. We only love America. No, but you know, the Dessner family and Matt Berninger are there on your album as well. I think Bryce played a few guitars, and Matt Berninger has this very sweet little gig on your record in the song All We Have. And that's something that I really loved on the LP as well, because your voice and Matt Berninger's voice is like the two far ends of a spectrum of human voices, kind of. And they fit,
that's so true.
They fit so perfectly together. It's really great. How did that come up? Was it your idea? Was it Thomas's idea? Did they just step into the studio, kind of?
Well, with Bryce was just, he just came by to hang out. Thomas's studio is a little bit like whoever's in town is there. And so we had a lot of people just pop into the studio, and Thomas would say, oh, why don't you sing on this track? Or, you know, why don't you play some guitar on this track? And same thing for me. I would sometimes sing on other people's songs when they were in the studio, and I would pop in to say hi to Thomas. But with Matt, We All Have was the first song that that we wrote for the record back in 2015, and it was pretty close when we first wrote it. We really liked the sound of it, but just around the end of 2019, Thomas wrote me a message, and he said, you know what, I really think it would be great if Matt sang the bridge on this song. I just feel like it would be a really cool moment, and it's something the song needs. And of course I said,
and the lyrics fit too for a male counterpart, I think.
Totally. I just think the gravity of Matt's voice and how deep it is and how beautiful it is to say love is all we need to be here for. I felt like it was going to be powerful. And so Thomas sent Matt the song, and Matt was on tour at the time, and he said he would do it. So I think in a hotel room one night with his engineer, that's what he told me after Matt had said, I think I was in a hotel when I did it. And
I think I was in a hotel when I did it. That's a nice part of the story. Maybe it was somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, sometimes it's hard to remember when you're on tour where you do things.
Yeah.
That was such a beautiful moment, and another nice point of connection to Matt, because he's such a lovely, wonderful person. So I was really, really grateful that he liked the song and wanted to be a part of it.
It's a goosebumps moment, definitely. And I really love the way that he gets in the chorus. He kind of like gets up with you with his voice, kind of like, and he does it in a very nice way. I didn't hear melodies like that from Matt Berninger, because it's not a national way of doing a melody.
Yeah, that's so true. He doesn't normally sing like that, so that was nice to hear.
Yeah, it is. It is really nice to hear. 60 Summers erscheint übermorgen, ladies and gentlemen, non-binary listeners of Lux FM. Und es wird das dritte Julia Stone-Album sein. Wir freuen uns schon sehr drauf. Wir haben ein bisschen jetzt über die Platte gesprochen. Jetzt müssen wir aber auch noch mal ein bisschen darüber reden, wie man jetzt als Julia Stone die nächsten Monate angeht. The whole year that we've left behind us right now has been like a forced break for all of us, for the musicians, for the club owners, for us as a radio station as well a little bit, because my whole show was based on interviews with artists who play shows in the very same evening in Berlin. So that changed up a little bit. How did you get through these months? How did you get through this year of crisis? Because I've heard of people who get creative like crazy. They write song after song, and then other people are like, they're not sure about their future, because it's all like it's happening in a blur, so they can't write at all. I mean, I know about creative people who can't write at all right now because they're just scared. You know, they're too scared to write music, maybe. How did you get through the year? Have you written music? Have you found new ways of spending your time, maybe new hobbies?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a little bit of both, you know. It's like it's been sometimes inspiring and sometimes really uninspired, and in a bath playing Switch, Nintendo, and you know, getting to the highest level after and the bath water going cold. I mean, it's I think it's, for me, some days are great and some days it's just, you know, it's really shitty, and that's how it feels. It's strange and uncomfortable. And but one of the things I really started to become interested in, I started to think about a life outside of music, because it seemed so uncertain. Like you said, I think for a lot of artists and people in entertainment, the future doesn't look very clear. So I had, what else would I love to do? What else could I offer, or what else could I contribute? Mm. And I started to become interested in mental health and what kind of, I don't know, I guess understanding a little bit more about ways to help in that world. And my sister's studying psychology, so she pointed me in the direction of some training, and we have, I'm sure you have as well, in Germany, helplines for people in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some training and
cool.
Became a volunteer for some for a helpline here for it's called an anxiety recovery center, so people can call when they're having a very difficult moment, or not, if they just want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really exciting and inspiring. I learned a lot of things that I didn't know about before, and I think it was really helpful just to be a part of the conversation around what needs to change in that sort of sphere in Australia. So yeah, that's taken up a bit of my time and certainly kept me motivated and feeling like I had other things to do outside of music.
Thank you. Thank you for that, and respect for that, because that's the thing that has been clear, or that people realized over the last few months in Germany, that all those crisis telephone lines, they've been used quite a lot over the last few months, because some people who have never been in a crisis are in one right now, because they don't get money from their job. They probably lose their house or something because of the crisis. And there's more and more need for those telephone lines. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you've kind of stepped up to the game and that you're doing that job right now. I think more people who think they are able to do that job should try it out, because it's an important thing. And I think it's a good thing for a musician of your class, maybe, to think about mental health issues as well, because the record business, let's be honest, it's not like the perfect surrounding to stay healthy mentally.
Yeah, we have an organization in Australia as well called Support Act, and that is for crew and band and artists, for supporting them as well financially and also with mental health. And they have a helpline for people, because of course, like you just said, I mean, the entertainment industry and touring life also has pressure on people's stability and comes with certain limitations of feeling like you connect and have a home and all of those things. So I do think that's something, probably because of personal experience, that I connected to, and I thought I have some level of understanding around it. So I think I'd be able to be there for people in a helpful way. So certainly I don't think it's for everybody, but it made sense to me as a way to use all of this newfound free time. So if it's something that if you love talking to people, and it's really, I just find it so interesting and incredible information about how to be a good listener and things that you just, you know, take for granted. And it's been a big game changer for me.
I think it's kind of like, you have to be a strong person though to do that job, kind of, because I think there might be stories, as a sensitive person, you might think about them for a while or something.
Yeah, they have an incredible team of supervisors that will always be there for us. So we every single phone call we take, we debrief with a supervisor who's trained to make sure that we're okay. There's a lot of focus on self-care, making sure that you take time after each call, or if you feel overwhelmed, that you have all of these us as volunteers, we can reach out to people, we can get help, and it's really beautiful, because it's actually like such a family and such a community, and we're there for people, and then they're there for us, and we're all there for each other, And it really, it feels lovely, and it feels such a nice thing to be a part of.
Cool. Now let's get back to the album one more time. There's only 2 days left and then it's going to be dropped. 60 Summers.
Yeah.
Das neue Album, das dritte Album solo von Julia Stone. What are the near future plans? I mean, it's hard to plan a tour or something right now, but are you looking forward to playing first shows maybe? Is there a way to try out things in Australia right now, or
yeah I mean, Australia, we're actually, I've already done a few shows, which has been incredibly fun.
Wow.
So I think we'll probably announce a tour sometime later in the year, and play a bunch of shows in Australia, which will be great because there's time to go to all of the parts of Australia. And maybe hopefully New Zealand, and then who knows? I mean, our fingers are crossed that we get to come back to Europe and the US and play the record everywhere, because it's a really fun record to play live.
Yeah, I think so. But and the Australia tour is like a different animal compared to years before, because you have more time to spend in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, we get to go, our plan is to go to a lot more regional parts of Australia. So that'll be pretty fun, because there are parts of Australia that I haven't even seen. So it will be, normally when we tour Australia, we mostly tour the bigger cities.
Sure.
But now we'll probably take our time, do it over 6 weeks and go everywhere.
Oh, nice. It's yeah. I think it's interesting to get to know your own country. Yeah. When the German bands are touring, there's a lot of corners in this country where you have to go. There's smaller cities, mm-hmm. but even if you just tour the bigger cities, you actually see the whole country. But it's a different thing in Australia, obviously. It's a bit bigger.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. And a lot of it is desert. So if you drive across the country, I think it's about a 3 or 4 day drive across from Sydney to Perth, which I have done before across the Nullarbor Plains. And it's amazing. Sometimes you just drive straight and you drive straight for so long, like 700 kilometers, and there's just 180 degrees of sky. You can see storm patterns moving across. You can see, you know, it's like you're just in a different world. I can't really describe it. It's the most extraordinary, beautiful space.
And now I just want to travel again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like
the dream.
I've just seen myself in a car driving through Australia, like looking at storm patterns. I've never looked at storm patterns before. I'm from a city where I've seen the storm like there's a small square between the houses.
A window.
Yeah, that's where the storm
there's
is happening.
The sun.
Julia Stone, it was a great pleasure to be talking to you. Want to wish you the best of luck for the new record that's coming out the day after tomorrow, 60 Summers, a great record, a great pop record, a versatile beast with different genres on it. And I think it's going to be huge all over the world, although you may have to wait for Julia Stone to play live for a few more months in Europe or in America. Julia, great pleasure to be talking to you once again. And I'll hopefully see you soon in Germany. As soon as you come to Berlin, you visit us in our very studio right here.
Would love that. Absolutely love that. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
No problem, Julia. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a nice day, right? And keep
you
up
too.
The good work. I mean, the music and the mental health thing, I really appreciate that. I mean, it's a good thing that you're doing this.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for bringing it up. It's awesome.
Die Morning Show am Nachmittag auf 100,6 Flux FM.